Chapter 56. The bottom dropped out of Carrie's stomach. She felt the blood drain from her head to her feet. Lucy's baby photo in the silver frame, the black and white picture of Carrie's graduation from law school, her father gazing at her with unmistakable pride. These were the photographs she kept on the nightstand beside her bed at home. She looked around the room again, slowly. Recognition dawning with a sickening surety. Her champagne bucket, her wine glasses, her pillows, her blankets. Carl Dahl had looted her home, taking things he thought she might want to have with her. God help me.
I even brung ye some clothes,
Carl said, pointing to where he had hung them on an old hook sticking out of a crumbling wall. Dresses, lingerie. He meant for her to stay. He seemed to think she would be happy and grateful for the honor.
You're cold, Carl said. You should have a wrap.
The perfect host. The scene was so incredibly surreal, it was difficult to believe it was really happening. Carl Dahl stood before her, blood all over the left side of his face and neck. Bald-headed, wearing women's makeup, wearing women's clothes. He hadn't said one word about what she had done to his face. It was almost as if he didn't notice it. The gold chenille throw had come from the love seat in her den. David had used it for a blanket Friday night. It smelled like cigar smoke and gin and a woman's cloying perfume. Carrie wanted to throw it away from her as if it were a snake. But Carl wrapped it carefully around her shoulders.
Please, sit down, he said,
guiding her toward the only chair in the room, a cheap plastic lawn chair that had seen better days a decade past. The chair was rusted and filthy. It was difficult to tell what color the plastic tubing might have been back when. It was the kind of chair she remembered from her teen years. She and all her girlfriends had had the lounge version because you could make it lie completely flat, making it perfect for sunbathing. In a brief flash, she saw herself and Sandy Butler flat on their bellies on the chairs in her backyard, the radio blasting. They had been so innocent.
I really should go, Carl, she said. Not that I don't appreciate all you've done, but I need to go home for my daughter. She'll be afraid, wondering where I've gone.
Carl frowned at that, but he didn't say anything as he dug through a couple of grocery bags, pulling out food that had probably come from Carrie's kitchen.
She's all right, isn't she, Carl?
Carrie asked, almost more afraid of knowing than not knowing. He didn't answer. His brow furrowed as he opened a box of Triscuits.
Please tell me she's all right, Carl.
Without even glancing at her, he got out a summer sausage that already had a third of it missing, and a knife that had come from the block on the counter just to the right of her stove. The sense of dread in Carrie's chest was so heavy she could hardly breathe.
Please, Carl,
she said, unable to keep the anxiety from her voice. Carl stood suddenly and pointed at her with the knife.
You don't have her no more, he said angrily. You're with me now.